Hey, welcome to another episode of Championship Circle. I've been gone for a little minute, but I'm back again, just like I promised. And I got a special guest with me today. B-Hop, go on, introduce yourself.
Hey, good morning. It's good to be a part of the show this morning. My name is Brian Hopkins. Played a little bit of college football at Winston-Salem State University before being sidelined by an injury that just pretty much derailed my college aspirations of playing football all 4 years. Now I'm a high school administrator here locally in Nash County, North Carolina. Very much involved with sports. All three of my children are very much involved in sports as well. My wife was a former point guard at J.H. Rose High School in Greenville. Just glad to be on the show this morning to talk about different sports and the way that sports is being impacted now by this global pandemic.
And let me tell y'all, Brian, a good friend of mine from Weldon Chargers, he the class of 98. And let me tell you, they used to call him, you forgot your nickname, man, the super linebacker. They call you, yeah, see, I dug up on you. They call him the super linebacker. Tell them why you got that nickname.
We were playing a game down in Lewisburg, Franklin County. And a kid, Alfred DeBose, my teammate, was tackling. He was the first one on the tackle. And he was spinning this kid around, and I met him in the opposite direction. And we had to pause the game for about 25 minutes. It was a pretty violent tackle, probably one of the most violent tackles that I've been a part of. I may have even had a minor concussion, but back then in the late 90s, they didn't have that protocol like they do now. So, you know, you just keep playing to things clear up, you know. Luckily for us, it was going in the fourth quarter, so we were going to be on the bus ride on the way back home soon.
And let me tell you, between the year, I think it was your senior year, Valley Defensive Player of the Year.
Yes, sir.
164 tackles, four quarterback sacks, and four forced fumbles. Did it bring back some memories?
It sure does.
Told y'all go dig up on you. Yeah, do you remember your senior night at Northwest?
Yes, Lord. Yes. Lord.
Tell the viewers a little bit about that.
Senior year, big rival game. Big rival game. That's one team that you never wanted to lose to was Northwest Halifax. You know, being in high school, Northwest had all the pretty cheerleaders and the girls, and you know how it was. So that's once. I mean, that game was our version of the Eagle Aggie Classic or NC State versus Duke.
Go hard or go home.
Yeah. And both of our records could have been 0-9, but that one particular game meant the most. But I ended up having 21 tackles.
Yeah, 21.
It was 21 tackles. I ended up having 21 tackles that game, and I remember every single one of them. And not just me, like my teammates, Reggie Ponton, played a tremendous game.
Shout out to Lil' Cuz.
Yeah, Lil' Cuz. Reggie Ponton played a tremendous game at the safety. One play went up the middle for about 14, 15 yards. I'm trailing the running back, Antoine Purnell, who was also, I believe, the offensive player of the year for the Roanoke Valley.
Yeah, he was.
Anyway, I'm trailing him. I'll come behind him, punch the ball out. And once I punched the ball out, the ball probably went out maybe 3 to 5 yards in the air. Out of nowhere, Reggie Ponton jumps up, catches the ball, and starts returning the ball back the other way, and it set us up in a position to score. That was just we fell short that game. I don't know how we lost that game. Out of my 4 years of playing varsity, my senior year, we lost to Northwest Halifax, so that was kind of jaw-dropping.
Yeah, but they already knew who the best was.
That's right.
They already knew. Just to shine a little light on the youth, Team Trez,
yes.
Want to talk to the listeners about that?
Yeah, so we have a team, Montrezl Harrell, who's from the Edgecombe, Nash County area, has helped with a organize a travel ball team, and actually it's a travel ball organization. So we're the youngest, the group that I'm assistant coaching, we're the youngest, and we are 10U, so it's mainly fourth graders. We do have one third grader that's playing up that can ball, but we'll be traveling to Fayetteville this upcoming weekend to play in a tournament, and then we head down, we're going to Rock Hill, South Carolina this upcoming weekend to play in a tournament, and we're playing in Fayetteville on December the 18th in the tournament. The kids have done a tremendous job. We've been lucky just to get back on the court. We started off in February, and that was abruptly stopped due to COVID. So with some, we put some parameters in place. We checked the kids' temperatures before practice, sanitizing balls and so forth. And we found some tournaments who do the same thing. So we're making sure that everybody who comes in is not a threat or pose any type of harm to someone else. But the kids have won their last four tournaments. They've won their last four tournaments. For the fall season, I think we're 12-1. We dropped one game in Raleigh, but after that one loss, we've been winning every game ever since, and been winning by pretty large margin, by at least 20 points. So shout out to Montrezl Harrell, who just signed a two-year deal with my favorite team, the Los Angeles Lakers. Come on, man.
I hate that running back motto they got. I hate it, man. But shout out to Montrezl, man. 2-5-2.
That's right. That's right. And he's doing great things for the community, man, just giving back. So just like Todd Gurley is and so many other guys in the 252 area, Montrezl is always giving our team a shout out on his personal social media page and posting pictures of the young players in his organization, calling them the young pups or the young puppies. And the kids love it. They love the attention. They love him giving them shout outs.
Yeah, man, I respect anybody that make it out their environment, make it out their predicament, and give back. Because, you know, Todd Gurley had the football camps at Tarboro High. And last year, I took my son for the first time. He had a good time, met Todd Gurley. I mean, it was just experience, man, when the youth can, like, meet somebody, like, from their hometown that give them, like, motivation that, oh, yeah, I can do it too.
That's right.
I can do it too. But speaking of, like, I know you talked about the safety of the kids with this pandemic. The sports world, football, man, it is like every time you turn around, something's going on with COVID. What's your take on it?
It's been crazy. It has been crazy. I woke up this morning and you know, like I was saying earlier, I woke up this morning, cut on ESPN to find out the Denver Broncos don't have any quarterbacks.
None whatsoever.
No quarterbacks today. So they're starting a wide receiver as the emergency quarterback. And I'm like, okay, what happens if he tweaks his ankle or something happens? Like, what's plan B? You know, it's crazy how this pandemic has not just impacted everyday life, but you know, it's showing that football players are too human. They too can be impacted by this pandemic. Baltimore, Pittsburgh game getting pushed back again for a second time this week. We were supposed to watch them today. We were supposed to watch them Thanksgiving and primetime football. Got pushed to Sunday and now it's pushed to Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. It looked like that ain't gonna happen because it's more and more. Right. I don't know what's going on with the Baltimore organization, but it's like they just spreading it. They ain't got no control over it now. The star tight end Mark Andrews, they saying he positive. So I don't know what gonna happen of this game.
Yeah, it's and you know it's already, you know, Baltimore was already dealing with, they got some issues. Baltimore, they got some big questions right now. I think they're trying to find themselves again. They're gonna have to redefine their offense. Last year, that run pass option worked. Nobody was prepared for it, mm-hmm. and it looks like everybody got prepared for it this offseason, and they're stopping it. So, you know, on top of that, and now you got the pandemic, which is impacting Mark Ingram's health, Lamar Jackson's health, Andrews, the tight end that you just mentioned, is just, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy. I feel sorry for Coach Harbaugh and the organization, honestly, because this was supposed to have been their year. We were expecting to see Lamar Jackson come out hot, red hot, like he did last year, and kind of mimic what Kansas City did, but it's going the other way.
Yeah, and with the COVID, it seems like it's just not affecting the players. It's affecting the staff. It's affecting sales. They already ain't had no fans. Now, my team, the 49ers, ain't got nowhere to play. I mean, we ain't got nowhere to play. Like, the Santa Clara, the city of Santa Clara, the county, banned all sports activities. So, we can't even play no home games in the next 3 weeks. And we got two home games against Buffalo and Washington in this three-week span. So it's like the NFL, they crucial. And the thing about it, I don't think the NFL was prepared like the NBA was. The NBA shut down 5 months and said, what can we do? NFL, to me, shut down. I know it's going to hurt a little bit. Shut down. To like, I'm gonna say the end of January, going into February. Get your plan up. The vaccine's supposed to come out next month. I know they don't want to take it, but you millionaires, it's a risk for your family, your friends, and the team. Make them do mandatory vaccine shots for all pro athletes.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Make it mandatory. I
mean, that's right. You got your health care workers and those on the front line. And you think about football, that's every play you touching somebody.
Somebody.
Every play you're getting within 1 yard to 6 inches of some of somebody. So it's real important that they take all the necessary precautions to remain safe.
And I'm sorry.
Cordell, I'm going to tell you, man, I've seen it at the high school level, at the prep level, where at a particular school in the area had to shut down a volleyball team because, you know, cases started to rise up on that volleyball team with a coach catching it, then a couple of players being diagnosed positive. So volleyball has to shut down for a couple of weeks before they could get back to the volleyball courts. Now, you talking about volleyball, you think about spacing. It's a lot of space in volleyball.
A lot of space.
A net separates the two teams. So if it's been a challenge among volleyball players, you could imagine how it is in the NFL. And they have the resources.
Yeah. They have the resources, the money. They got doctors on hand. But it's uncontrollable because, like you said, they so close to one another and they traveling. That's another thing. Maybe if they could shut down and come back and do like the NBA kind of did with percentage, win percentage, and go on to start the playoffs and have it in one spot. Like, okay, let's say Las Vegas Raiders. You don't really hear a lot of cases coming out of Las Vegas. They got a new stadium. Okay, take these eight teams, put them in Las Vegas. Let's start the playoffs. I mean, think about it. You got teams like the Jets, the Bengals. I mean, where are they playing for?
Yeah,
they're not playing for anything. And you can have a play-in tournament for the ones that's right there on the edge.
That's right.
Yeah, have a play-in tournament. Let them play each other and see who get that last eighth seed.
That's right. That's right. It's going to be a challenge, I think, you know, as the month of December approaches and it starts to get cooler and you got these – teams having to travel cross country. I'm not sure. So with San Francisco, are they going to have to go to Buffalo and play that game now?
Right now, tell you the truth, it surprised me this morning, but the Arizona Cardinals, our rivals, said we can use their stadium for our home games.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, they'll be on the road while we playing in their stadium.
Wow.
So that's a big look, man. That's a big look.
It is. It is. That's tremendous. You know, you think about the college athletes. I got a former student who graduated from the school that I'm an administrator at back in 2017. He plays for Illinois, Isaiah Gay. He's been pumped up all week, ready to play Ohio State Buckeyes, ready to get after Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. Tell the NFL scouts that it's some pass rushes on Illinois' defensive line. And then you wake up yesterday morning, you cut on ESPN SportsCenter, and you find out that the game has been canceled because of a rise in cases among Ohio State players and staff. And, you know, yesterday, a lot of people don't know this, but yesterday was going to be a historical moment for Ohio State's associate head coach, Larry Johnson. Larry Johnson Sr., his son used to play with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
Larry Johnson was going to be the first African-American male to be named interim, the head coach of Ohio State. So hopefully he'll have that opportunity next week when they play Michigan State. And he's right here from the 252 as well. He's from Williamston, graduate of Elizabeth City State University.
Okay.
Yeah, played linebacker. He was All-American, All-CIAA linebacker at Elizabeth City State University back in the 70s and went on to coach. And just he coached high school ball in D.C., Washington, D.C. Then he became a collegiate coach at Penn State with Joe Paterno and a couple of others that followed after Joe Paterno. And he went on to Ohio State, you know, just wanted a different opportunity. But hopefully, you know, that's, you know, talking about COVID, getting back to COVID, hopefully that Ohio State will get their numbers under control as well, because they may be knocked out of the playoff spot right now that they're holding.
Yeah, because from what I heard with Ohio State, since they canceled the second game, and you think about it, the Big Ten were already four games behind everybody else. Right. So it's like their number of games don't add up for a bowl appearance.
That's right.
So, which is fair, because, you know, I'm a Carolina fan. Right. So we was ranked number five.
Right.
Week three, we were ranked number five. Okay. We lost one game. Yes, it was to an unranked team, Virginia, I think it was.
Right.
Got knocked off, dropped all the way down to 15 from five. But Ohio State stayed number six without playing a game.
Right.
Without playing a game.
Right.
So.
Right. And you know, I'm like you. I love the Tar Heels as well.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like that was unfair, but, you know, that's how the dice roll sometimes. I was shocked that I think their first loss came, what, was Florida State down in Tallahassee?
Yeah.
They dropped that game. They had no business losing.
They showed in.
They had no business losing that game.
Williams
dropped the pass. And then you go in that crucial game you just spoke of, the Virginia game. And now, you know, I was talking to my oldest son this on Thanksgiving Day. I said, guys, this is my bold prediction. I predicted Notre Dame's going to fly in the Chapel Hill. Carolina's going to upset them. And the game was, you know, kind of going back and forth until about the start of the fourth quarter. And
man, just kind of our offense got stuck in the mud.
It did. It did.
Howell been playing good the past three, four games. And this game, it just like he was in neutral.
He was. He looked mediocre.
He really did.
Yeah, he looked mediocre where he, you know, the rest. At one point, I was going to throw his name in the Heisman hat.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I was too.
With the numbers that he was putting up. And then all of a sudden, you know, you play against – you can't drop those games that you're supposed to win.
Especially against a top three team.
Exactly. Exactly. So I do know that they're recruiting hard. Carolina's recruiting very heavy. They got some five-star athletes coming in that's going to be playing next year. One from the area, Keyshawn Silver, who's a senior at Rocky Mount High School. Five-star defensive end, and I think he's ranked number two prospect in the state. So as long as they keep recruiting like that, I think, you know, the future look bright. Mac Brown has turned the program around.
Yeah, he is.
Got Dre Bly. Dre Bly is actually – he's the one that does the high school recruiting in our area. So,
okay.
Yeah, so Dre Bly has been in and out of all these high schools right here in Nash County, Wilson, and Edgecombe County, pulling these small-town kids – even going up to Southeast Halifax and you know, just pulling kids from the area and trying to get them an opportunity to be a part of their program.
Yeah, because people just don't realize how much talent that's around here in the local area. Like, kids got the talent, but they just need somebody to, like, put the spotlight on them.
Exactly.
Because it's a small city, small town. You don't get a lot of attention.
Exactly. That's just like, you know, you talking about the area. How in the world was Todd Gurley ranked a three-star athlete, four-star athlete?
Right.
And the kid in Raleigh, I forgot his last name, Keith. It was a 1-2 combo down in Georgia. Both of them, you know, they kind of interchange it, both running backs.
Running backs, yeah. I think I heard.
Yeah, he was a five-star. So the story is when Georgia coach came up to Tarboro, he said, yeah, I could use that kid at safety. That's what he was saying about Todd Gurley. You know, I could use that kid at safety. And the coach said, this going to be your running back here. And lo and behold, they get down there to Georgia and camp that summer. Very first game, Todd Gurley's career at the University of Georgia, he returns a kickoff 105, 106 yards. And I think, you know, he pretty much etched his name in stone to, hey, I'm the man. And, you know, that's evident of what you're saying with, you know, it's a lot of talent in these small towns. You just have to tap into them.
Oh, yeah, a lot of talent. So, like you said, you're a Dolphin fan. Let's talk about Tua. What's your take on Tua?
I like Tua. Yeah. I really like Tua. I think within the last week or two, I may have questioned should we had chosen that quarterback that the Chargers took at number six, mm-hmm. Justin Herbert. To me, Justin Herbert, just with his frame, his size, he reminds me so much of Dan Marino, his arm strength. Tua in his own rights is his own person. I know a lot of people compare him to Russell Wilson. I don't see the scrambling ability that Russell Wilson had earlier. I don't know if it's the hip injury that Tua had, but he has an accurate arm, and when he's on point, he's on point. A little banged up this week. I think he had a thumb injury, which is going to keep him out from playing the Jets today. But I think we'll be okay with Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's a proven veteran. He's beat the Jets already this year. So I think we'll be okay.
And Fitzpatrick, the best reliable backup a team can have.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all in good hands. But what do you feel? Do you feel like that was the right call they made the last 2 minutes of taking two out and putting Fitzpatrick in?
I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't. I've been and I still am. I'm Brian Flores, the head coach. I love the man to death. He's come in and he's turned our organization around. He's given us hope. The players have bought into his system. I think he's dealt some of the players who wouldn't buy into his system and got some draft picks for them. A couple of first round draft picks. That's how we were able to get to him. But on that play, his very last play before he was snatched out, his ankle got caught behind him. And that worried me. I said, oh, man. I said, that's that same leg, you know, the same hip that he injured. Uh-huh. So, commercial comes on. The game comes back on. When the game comes on, Fitzpatrick's out there. I'm like, what is going on? So, what happened? I said, is he hurt? And I see Tua over there. You know, he's walking around, and he puts on the headset that Fitzpatrick normally wears. I said, oh, man, they made a coaching change. They made a quarterback change on us. And I don't know, you know, if you saw that game, but the last couple of minutes, Fitzpatrick drove us right on down.
Yeah, I seen it. Yeah.
He put us in position to score. Tua was having a hard time with that. And I don't know if it's just him being a rookie. And I think we all got to remember, he didn't start the season off like Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow. Yeah, he came in with like week five after a bye week.
Yeah, he took over.
Yeah, he took over. So he's still learning. He's still learning.
And I'm going to say, with y'all next two games, I think it's the Jets and the Bengals.
Yes.
I can see y'all are easy at 8-4.
I'm hoping that your psychic powers are right, brother.
but, you know, it's a but somewhere.
Yes, sir.
Chiefs, Patriots, Raiders, and the Bills, your last four games. How do you see your record ending up?
Whew.
Yeah, them some tough games.
If we could go 10-6, I think that would be exceeding all expectations.
Yeah, yeah. Because y'all weren't expected to do this year.
Not at all. No. This was a rebuilding year still, but it looks like he's kind of moved on past that. He's going to play and win while he's building. And it's high expectations in Miami. The defense is playing well. It kind of reminds me of the no-name defense that they had back in the 70s because, you know, they don't have no standout superstars on their defense. Xavier Howard, the corner, is maybe one of the best in the league, but he doesn't get the credit that he deserves.
No, he don't.
They signed a big kid out of the free agent from the Dallas Cowboys, Baron Jones.
Baron Jones.
But, I mean, you know, if you ask the average football fan, you say, hey, who's the four starters in Miami secondary? They can't tell you.
No, they can't tell you.
No, who's two of the linebackers for Miami? They can't tell you. The kid they drafted 2 years ago out of Clemson, he's going to be back today. He was on the COVID list. He actually had tested positive, they say. But he's back 100% healthy. He's playing Christian Wilkins. So, you know, I think, you know, if we can end up 10-6, that's a plus. But we're going to have to sneak a win or two. I don't know if we're going to beat the Chiefs. I think we can beat the Patriots.
Yep.
And the Bills game is the last game of the season. You know weather's going to impact that game. It'll be like old days when Miami had to fly up to Buffalo and play the Bills. They had Ricky Williams. Ricky Williams run crazy, 200-plus yards in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have Ricky Williams no more. So we got to find another way to get it done.
But I really do think that y'all going to secure a wild card. I hate to say it. I think the Bills will win the division. But I think y'all will get a wild card just because how the AFC going. Like I said, nobody expected y'all to be in this position anyway. So right. Y'all were playing with house money.
That's right.
Y'all defense can go with the best offenses, I think, because y'all pass rush. I know you ain't talk about Shaq Lawson, but Shaq Lawson actually making an impact on y'all line. So I think y'all can rumble with the best and I do see a 10-6 record. So we'll see how it pan out. But the thing about the NFL today is it's different. It's different. We seeing scenarios that the NFL ain't never prepared for. Even when it comes to the college, I know Dabo been talking junk to Florida State about how, oh yeah, you canceled the game because of this or that. But Florida State canceled another game against Virginia Tech?
Virginia.
They canceled another game. So it might be something in that Florida State organization that they don't want to put out in the media.
Right. Something going on.
Yeah, something going on.
Yeah, 2 weeks in a row and the day of the game.
Day of the game,
hours leading up to the kickoff and you cancel. It just makes you wonder, like, are people testing positive on Saturday a couple of hours before kickoff? Or, you know, did they know about this and they waited to, you know, inform the opposing team? And, you know, it's traveling is not easy. So it's not like you can put 60 football players on the bus. Those days are gone right now with this pandemic. So they're having to get additional resources to make traveling easier. Even if they're flying down or if they're flying up, it's been crazy. I do miss the old days of you know, the old Florida State, how it was back in the day with Bobby Bowden walking the sideline with his arms folded.
Oh, yeah.
They dominating every Saturday. And I just think, you know, I miss that for college football.
I think it will get back to normal, but right now this is the new norm. So we're going to have to deal with it. But all in all, man, to all the sports fans, let's keep listening, keep tuning in to your favorite teams. I mean, it's going to get better. They got a vaccine. It's on the way. I'm not going to take it the first go around. I'm going to see how the reaction to it go first. I know they said they're going to give it to the healthcare workers and people in the nursing home first. So I guess we'll have to see what happens. But all in all, everybody that's out there, just stay blessed, stay safe. That's the only thing we can do out here right now. But Brian, man, I appreciate you, man, coming on the podcast, man.
Man, it's been a blast. I've really enjoyed it. I could talk sports with you all day long, man.
Oh, yeah, you know how we do, man. And I will be bringing you back.
Please
so
do.
Just stay on hand. Any more last words for the listeners?
Guys, I think you summed it up pretty much. You know, just continue to pray and stay safe, keep your family safe, and continue to watch sports while we have it. I think it's a privilege that, you know, we still got football. Honestly, I really think it's a privilege that we can cut the TV on the weekend and watch a football game. And college basketball is back now. And, you know, if we're going to be in the house and we, you know, not really going out like that, I think we got a lot of things that we can do with our families, as such as watching sports.
And with that, we're going to leave it like that. And B-Hop, I appreciate you coming on Championship Podcast.
I appreciate you, baby.
For all my listeners, you can find me on Spotify, Google, iTunes, Facebook page, Championship Circle, IG, all media platforms. I appreciate you, Brian. Next time, man, we'll come back, talk more Dolphins and football, man.
Yes, sir.
All right.
All right, man.